Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Trouble with the Snap podcast on a Monday nearing 12:30. Tyler Hayward will join me very soon. We'll talk Michigan State Spartans basketball as they'll be in the Maui Invitational. They play tonight 5 p.m. against Virginia Tech, a Virginia Tech team that's been surprisingly good with losing their best player, losing their coach, bringing in six new freshmen. They've actually had an outstanding start as they are undefeated at 5-0 this year. We'll break that down. We'll break down the Michigan basketball tournament as well. They're in the battle for Atlantis. And, you know, that should be interesting. First true test for the Michigan basketball program under Juwan Howard. They have Iowa State Wednesday. And if they win, they will probably play North Carolina. Alabama is very good, but North Carolina is loaded. Cole Anthony's a special player. Look forward to seeing a true test for Michigan basketball. They really need it. We need to see where this program is, where this team is under Juwan Howard. So we'll get right into that when Tyler joins me. Let's talk about the game, though. Michigan versus Ohio State this Saturday. I think this is a big one, obviously, every year. No matter how many times Ohio State wins, it's still the game. It's just got to be. There's too many people that have invested their lives in this game, too many former players that have feedback on it, and certainly bragging rights on the line. Michigan's peaking at the right time. They've been playing great football. I would say after the second quarter, a lot of people say the second half of Penn State, and I understand that, where Michigan really started making that turn for the better. But I think that second quarter, when they had that drive, they moved the ball down the field. Zach Charbonnet gets a touchdown on the ground. The offensive line was clicking. They had another drive where they were moving the ball, and it stalled with the end of quarter field goal, which was kind of a controversial call by Jim Harbaugh. If you look back, I think if they go for that, and maybe they do get closer and make a field goal or score another touchdown, now you're only down one score or 11 points at halftime. But the second half, they played outstanding against Penn State. So I can see where people would say, yes, the second half against Penn State where Michigan made that turn. But really, it was second quarter of that game where finally things started coming together. But they got a bear. They got a bear to wrestle with in Ohio State. This team is outstanding. They're loaded on offense. Their defense, in my opinion, is better than the offense. And that's how scary this team is. You know, when you're averaging in the 50 points per game area and you're only giving up nine, I mean, it's just incredible statistically what Ohio State has done this year. They obviously were winners last weekend, and I guess you could say a closer game, 28-17, but a lot of that had to do with turnovers, and Penn State capitalized and made it a close game. This is a big one for Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I think it's well documented. We're really going to dive into the breakdown of this game Friday, but I just think that this is definitely a game, because of how Michigan has played, that they have the opportunity to upset Ohio State. They have enough talent. They have the players. They're playing well enough right now where this should definitely be a good game. You got to prepare like you never have before. I mean, you have to have a very good game plan for Ohio State. You got to throw some wrinkles in there that they have not seen this year from anyone else. And I really believe that that will be the case. I think Michigan will do some things they haven't done. I think they've probably prepared for this game all year. I think they've mentioned that a lot. And it's a must. They have to play their best game of the year. And guess what? I hate to say it. Ohio State's going to have to make a few mistakes, just like they did last weekend. It's the type of game where, as Michigan, you look at them, you go, they got to play great. And, yeah, Ohio State needs to kind of make a few mistakes. That's just where it is at this point. I'm excited, though. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to breaking it down again on Friday. Today's show, primarily, we'll talk more basketball. We'll dive more into Michigan basketball later on. But let's talk Michigan State. I think what you're seeing right now is Michigan State's been challenged a lot early on in the season. I think it's a good thing. I think this has always kind of been the case for Tom Izzo's program and teams. You know, Virginia Tech is going to be a tough game. I mean, these guys are playing really well. They hit 21 threes. And I know it was against Delaware State, but that's going to be a key. The Michigan State can contain them from outside. But they're playing very well right now. I mean, you look at that field, and obviously a lot of people think it's going to be Kansas-Michigan State in that final. And, boy, that would be a lot of fun. You know, that'd be a lot of fun to see. Michigan State, look, I said this to Tyler earlier today. I think that this is a team who, as good as they are, they got to have that other guy who can create – for himself and others. You know, you look at Cassius Winston, the usage rate last year was ridiculous. They put the ball in his hands, and they say, hey, go win it for us. You know, when you want to make that run and you want to get to that next step, you know, this is a team they're talking national title contender. You got to have another playmaker who can make plays for other guys and himself. It's just, it has to happen. And I look at Rocket Watts over and over. That's the guy that I continue to point to. So he's that guy that, you know, a point guard out of high school, highly touted, you know, can make plays, you know, really was known to be a scorer coming out of high school. He's got to play at that level where he can do things that Cassius Winston can do. And I know he's not going to do it at that level, but it's got to be close to that level. He's got to get the ball in his hands, create off the ball screen, create things for other guys so Cassius Winston doesn't have to do it all. I think eventually, and I mentioned this also to Tyler, if I was the coach and defending against Michigan State, my thing would be, let's just trap Cassius all the time. Let's take away his ability to score completely. He's a great passer, but let's take him away from making a play. Let's make him not just be able to throw it to the guy rolling to the basket. Let's take that away too, and let's just make him kick it out backwards all game long. He's going to have to pass it out, and whoever that guy is catching the ball from the three-point line has to be the guy that scores and hits shots consistently. I think when you guard them a certain way off ball screen action and you just hedge and recover, Cassius Winston is too good and he can create too easily on that situation. So I think that having that extra guy who can create really takes the pressure off Cassius Winston. And in the end, it enables Michigan State to be a much better basketball team. I think that there's a lot of guys on the wing that are playing well. I mean, you look at Gabe Brown, I think he's played very well at times this year. I think we know what Aaron Henry can do. They're going to get Joshua Langford back in January. Those are all guys, though, that are more slashing players. I think Aaron Henry's proved that he can make plays for others a little bit, but I still think that you got to have another guard, like a Rocket Watts, you know, who can create for other guys and can almost play that point guard spot and take the usage rate off of Cassius Winston. Tyler's with me. Tyler, we were just talking about you know, I was breaking down basketball, obviously, and we talked about it earlier when we were prepping about having another guy who can create for others besides Cassius Winston. I know you want to probably talk about something else before we dive into that. I know Hank Bolo passed away, so why don't you touch on that first, and then let's dive into some basketball.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's bad, but, you know, it's one of those things. Father Time's undefeated. You know, he's 85 years old, so. I mean, it's not like it was anything overly unexpected, but at the same time, I mean, it's a big loss for Michigan State. I mean, you look at how, you look at some of the things, you know, the Charles Rogers stuff and things like that. Everything's kind of taken away from this season a little bit, which, you know, helps you realize that, you know, there are things more important than the game. But, I mean, he was the one who started the tradition to bowls at Michigan State, and, I mean, he saw that go straight down the line, and saw Max Riley and Byron all play middle linebacker for MSU, and I mean, it's a big loss. I obviously can't speak too much on it because I never did get an opportunity to see him play because he was part of those dominant teams in the 50s, in the early 50s, but obviously, you know, he's got the Rose Bowl win. He was a head coach in the NFL for a while, coached for Michigan State for a while. So, you know, it's a big loss for Michigan State. But, I mean, like I said, that bowl of name is something that, you know, it started with him. And I think that's something to be proud of because the bowls were very well represented at MSU.
No, absolutely. Very well represented. You know, a tough loss, but, you know, a lot of good memories for Spartan fans. A pioneer, really. That's the way I look at it, you know, doing more research. A pioneer in that program, a long-lasting legacy with that name, the Bulla name, at Michigan State. And, you know, yeah, no matter how old someone is, it's a tough loss. It's just always a tough loss to see someone with that presence leave us. But, you know, we're praying for, again, Spartan Nation because it's just been a tough few weeks. I mean, it really has. And I think you see a lot of people band together because of these things. And I think what we, you know, Craig Jarrett said it best on our show. I mean, I think sometimes when these things happen, you hate to see it happen, but it brings people closer together. I know he had mentioned with the passing of Charles Rogers, a lot of former players, hey, we need to have, you know, we can't just, you know, meet up for funerals, guys. I mean, we need to have a yearly thing. And that's very important. And I think sometimes these things can turn into a positive, but it's a tough loss, for the Michigan State Spartan family. And I'm sure that there'll be a lot of things that are brought to our attention about this and a lot of good memories. I mean, this guy was incredibly successful and an incredible, incredibly successful family, you know, that has stuck with Michigan State. You know, Tyler, we'll break that a bit more down. We talk more football. Sure. Today's show is more of a basketball show. You know, earlier I talked about the game. We'll end on that a little bit. But basketball-wise, I think let's go Michigan first because I think it's interesting. I think this is a type of situation where, you know, watching them play, you know my thoughts. I just don't think they're a very good basketball team. But I think this is a great opportunity to maybe prove some people wrong. You know, you play well against good opponents. You somehow get an upset win. But, you know, they start off with Iowa State in the Battle for Atlantis, who's a very good team. And if they win, you know, good luck. You know, you got North Carolina most likely. But talk Michigan basketball. I mean, they just haven't been challenged yet. We don't know how good they are. Well, let's break it down a little bit, though.
Well, I mean, first things first, you know, what an excellent week of sports. I mean, I love this week. I mean, so much comes down to the line. Usually for Michigan or Michigan State, obviously, as far as football goes, obviously not so much this year, but you still have the game on Saturday, and then you have both schools in really, really good Thanksgiving week tournaments, and you know, even then next week, both schools have really, really good competition, and just an
sure.
incredible couple of weeks here for sports. So first off, that's impressive. I look forward to this week every year. And occasionally, pending when Michigan State plays, if they play on a Thursday, I might sprinkle some Detroit Lions losing in there. But,
oh, God, don't do it. Don't do it.
But,
you know, let me say this. Me and Tyler went back and forth on this. We said, okay, we cannot talk about the Lions on this show. We can't help ourselves. I mean, my God.
We're not,
you know,
going to
great week.
Break down the Lions. I'm just saying, it's a great week of sports. And,
yes, sure.
You know, I mean, Thanksgiving is capped off with – Thanksgiving used to be just about Detroit Lions football for us up in Michigan,
yeah.
And now it's about these tournaments that just excellent quality. And, I mean, you said it, Michigan's is brutal. Holy crap.
Yeah, high school football, too. High school football championships, that has to be documented. You know, something we never really talk about, but – because this is a Michigan-Michigan State show.
Carrie
hey,
Wilson's alma mater back in the finals where they always are.
Yep. Exciting.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's great.
Yeah, this Battle for Atlantis, though, this tournament is just unreal. Holy crap, the competition level is insane. You've talked about it. Yeah, you get Iowa State, then you – if you win, you get North Carolina. And then after that, I mean, it's a crapshoot who you're going to get. You could get Seton Hall. That's going to be a tough out. You could end up with Gonzaga. You could end up with Oregon. Like, it's a great tournament. And Michigan, you said that they haven't really played that well, but the more I started thinking about it, obviously they lost Poole, they lost Matthews, and they lost Iggy, and those three have, I mean, you're not replacing them right now. You know, you're rolling out Teske and you're rolling out Simpson. Maybe when Bogdan comes back, you'll get a little bit more. But right now, this is a coaching issue with Juwan Howard. I'm not saying, like, he's throwing it all away or anything. What I mean is he implementing his system right now so the young guys can get used to it to where it may not be a fit for the rest of the program?
Yeah, I don't think so, Tyler. I mean, honestly, I think this is what you're going to see. They're going to push the ball. They're going to try to pound it inside. You know, I think the way they've recruited, especially if, you know, Isaiah Todd does sign, they're going to want to go inside to him. They're going to want to do high-low action. To be honest, they haven't played too bad in the last few weeks. I mean, I thought the Creighton team they beat was a good team. App State was a bad game. They did not play well. You know, they gave up a 32-5 run. I think, Houston Baptist is not a good team, so when you score 111 points against them, who cares? But at the same time, there's got to be a little bit of confidence brewing on offense They have scored the ball pretty well. I mean, they haven't scored under 70 points this year. I think defensively they've had really breakdowns that are concerning. And I think a lot of that is because of how they're playing on offense. You know, they're pushing the ball more, and I think they're giving up easy baskets. You know, they're just not containing the drive very well. And I think that that's just going to be exposed soon because, you know, when you play Iowa State and then if you play North Carolina and then like you said, the crapshoot of all those other teams, whoever they play, whether they win or lose, is going to be a really good team. I mean, you look at their schedule, it is a bear. I mean, they got Iowa State, winner or loser of North Carolina, Alabama, and then all those other teams with Oregon, Seton Hall, Gonzaga. I mean, good luck. I mean, they could easily go 0-3 in this tournament. And then you get to go Tuesday at Louisville. Good luck. And then it's crazy because a few weeks after that, they're at home against Oregon. So this is a situation where you got to be real careful if you're Michigan, where they could lose five games before the new year. And that's really scary because what did we say preseason? The making the tournament would be probably a good thing for them. You lose five games before the new year, that makes it even tougher in a really good conference.
Yeah, you've got to get that signature win. And obviously, there's going to be opportunities, though, in conference. You know, you'll have two shots at Michigan State. You'll have a crack or two at LSU. You'll have shots at Maryland. So you'll get those moments. You'll have those opportunities to get those wins even in conference. But getting one outside of conference with how brutal the schedule is, that would be huge. But like I said, I think this is a situation where Howard's pushing his system on players who aren't used to and probably shouldn't be playing this system. You know, Simpson is not the type of guy who pushes the ball like Juwan Howard wants. He's a great point guard, and, you know, I've got him as – I think I have him right now as the third-best point guard in the Big Ten behind Cassius and behind Cowan. You could easily make a case Simpson's the second-best point guard in the Big Ten. He's more of the defensive point guard. He's more working the ball within the half-court sets and making the plays, penetrating and dishing. He's that type of a point guard. He's not the type of guy who, you know, Cassius can catch the ball on the free throw line, just flip it up to the other one to a cutting Kithier or Tillman or something like that. He's not the type of guy who pushes the ball like that. And so I feel like it may be a little bit forced. But at the same time, I understand what Juwan Howard's doing. I'm not saying it's a bad move. I'm just saying is maybe that a reason why we may see some struggles with Michigan this season.
Yeah, I think that Isaiah Livers has played really well. I think he's the one guy that has stepped up through this system. You know, he's been able to be a little more creative on the wing, and they're looking for him more. You know, they're still shooting the ball a lot outside. It's not like a whole lot has changed. It's just I would argue with the statement that Xavier Simpson is not a guy that can push the ball, that it's probably the opposite. I think he can do better in those situations. I think he can push the basketball. I don't think he's accustomed to doing it because, yeah, you're right, the last 3 years they've not done that. But I think that
right.
I don't think a whole lot has changed on offense too much. I mean, they don't have a whole lot of concept basketball with John, you know, that they had with John Beilein. There was a lot of different things that they did that was really well. They moved the ball very quickly. This is a team that pushes it quickly, but once they get in half court, there's only a few guys they want to get the ball to, whether it's pounding it inside of Teske or it's Simpson ball screen, let's get it to Livers and let him attack. That's going to cause you a problem when you play against good teams. And I think you'll see that Wednesday against Iowa State, an athletic team, a power five team, and that'll be interesting. I think that's a game you got to win. You know, that's a game you got to win. And then when you play the powers like North Carolina, a Gonzaga, and Oregon, yeah, I mean, the chances of you winning are not very good right now. You just don't have enough depth, and you just don't have enough players to beat those teams right now. But, hey, strange things happen in basketball. I mean, we know that. Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, in the tournament, I would be out of my mind if I thought that Michigan could win two games. I mean, I think you got to win that first one. You win that first one, and then, you know, hey, maybe you lose to North Carolina, and then whoever you play after that, third day, everyone's tired, you somehow squeak out a win, and then you go to Louisville, and you're going to get hammered. I mean, you're going to get crushed. Louisville is just really good, and like I said, this is a Michigan has to find a way to get to the new year with two or three losses. And that's really tough. I mean, that's really tough with that schedule. And let me remind people who, well, not a lot of people seem to really care about Michigan basketball as much, which is kind of surprising. But they've got a really tough schedule in December as well. I mean, you look at Illinois, is it a better team? They're on the road there December 11th. You know, Iowa's their first Big Ten game in, you know, a couple of weeks. Iowa's not a bad team. You know, and then, you know, you get a couple cupcakes in UMass Lowell and you know, another couple easier games. And then right away, the new year starts, and guess who you get back-to-back? Michigan State and Purdue. That is not – you know, not an easy start to the new year. And like I said, it's imperative that they find a way to not get in a situation where they lose five games. I mean, and you are in a catch-up situation where you're going, every game matters, and, man, we might not make the tournament.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think I told you this. Someone I worked with at iSportsWeb, Matt Hefner, he brought up a little interesting stat. That Michigan game, Cassius Winston may end up passing Mateen Cleave for the Big Ten all-time.
That would be, wouldn't that be just wonderful?
Well, Mateen Cleave was.
Oh, I would be so happy about
Michigan
that.
When Mateen Cleave was also got that record when he played against Michigan and had 20 assists in his senior day game at the Breslin Center. So, I think that, I mean, I just like seeing things go full circle like that. Unfortunately, for Michigan fans, that would be the case. But, you know, if Cassius has a bad game as far as distributing goes, or he overachieves, so to speak, then, you know, Michigan avoids just that salt-in-the-wound type situation for how we think the season's going to go. But, look, we're going to see how good Michigan is. They haven't played anybody yet. And this tournament's well, let's just say they'll play some people.
Sure.
Play some players. And
they're going to play some teams that are good, that are coached well, too.
Yeah, and so we'll see how well they do. And, well, you just said coaching. It couldn't be interesting to see, you know, Juwan Howard against North Carolina. It's going to be interesting to see Juwan Howard against Mark Few. It's going to be interesting to see those types of matchups as well and how he does in those situations because – look, the jury is still out on him. It's not that everyone expects him to be a bad coach. It's not that everyone expects him to be, you know, Coach K. It's a situation where he's still kind of, not to mix my colors up, he's still kind of green in this situation, you know. He's still new to coaching. He's never been a head coach anywhere. We said he might be, well, pressing his pressing style offense a little bit. And it's going to be interesting to see how he makes his adjustments. And you don't really have to make adjustments against Appalachian State. You want to get a stop at the end of the game, but you don't necessarily have to make the adjustments. And so we'll see what not only Michigan's made of, but we'll see what Juwan Howard's made of in the next 5 days here.
Yeah, we'll definitely be – we'll find out soon in a few days. You know, I think the Iowa State game will be a little bit telling. And obviously the next game will be very telling on how good or bad they are. And things can change as well. And then, now talking Maui Invitational, obviously Michigan State, they play tonight against Virginia Tech at 5 p.m. Another very strong field. I mean, you look at Kansas, UCLA. Virginia Tech is a tough one, Tyler. I mean, they lose their coach. They lose their top two players. Guys leave. You know, they have to bring in six new freshmen at the end. They're playing outstanding basketball right now. You know, they are undefeated. They're shooting the ball outstanding. I mean, I know beating Delaware State is nothing to get excited about, but they hit 21 threes. They hit 21 threes against Delaware State. And, hey, this is the type of situation where they get hot from outside. You know, we got a ball game here. I fully expect Michigan State to get to the end. But, yeah, let's talk now, Maui Invitational. Let's talk about tonight's game. What does Michigan State need to do? I mean, I think at this point they don't have to do anything really different, but they're going to have to contain the three-point shot. I mean, that's obvious.
Well, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, I mean, a little bit about, like, this tournament compared to the Michigan one. Look, this field isn't nearly as loaded. This is one of those types of tournaments where you have the two favorites that you want to see matched up at the end. That's what this tournament is. You know, everyone wants Michigan State, Kansas at the end of this. And so you have quality teams in there. You have Dayton and Georgia, who Michigan State will play the winner or loser of, depending how the night's game against Virginia Tech goes and things like that. So, but there you have who should be there, and Michigan State should be Virginia Tech. The problem is, like you said, Virginia Tech is a hot shooting team. Michigan State, not shooting the three ball well this season. And I don't know if this is a footback thing. I don't know if they're just going through a cold spell, because we know Cassius Winston is a 43% three-point shooter for his career. And he's not – I mean, he's done his fair share, but, you know, you're not seeing Kyle Arns make the three. You know, you're not seeing Bingham make his threes. Malik Hall is hit or miss to start this season. Rocket Watts is a lot more miss to start this season. Gabe Brown and Cassius Winston are pretty much the only two players that are holding their own behind the three-point line. So if you're not going to make the three, you at least got to stop Virginia Tech from doing it, because you're not going to win a shootout like that. And ultimately, Michigan State obviously head and shoulders, knee and ankles above whoever Virginia Tech's played this season defensively. But that's still a sign of concern, given the fact that Michigan State has been known. Look, if they give up a quick three at the beginning of a game, the other team tends to get really, really hot, really, really fast. And Michigan State, they make the adjustments eventually, but by then it's too late. And you saw that in Middle Tennessee State. And not to bring up old memories, because that was 4 years ago, but that's been kind of a recurring thing with Izzo, is you end up with one guy who can get extremely hot, and you look at Powell at Seton Hall just carrying them to a game where, look, if you pulled him and you pull Winston, you pull the two best players off the floor, Michigan State wins that game by 40. Like, I truly believe the talent level is that different, just Powell kept Seton Hall in it. And that's the type of situation that you need to avoid if you're Michigan State.
Yeah. Anyway, you got to look at the next game. I think it's interesting. Tom Crean, you know, Crean being the coach of Georgia, there's some familiarity there, and that could be a possible tough game for Michigan State if that's how the cards play out. I mean, I think Georgia's got their hands full against Dayton. Dayton's a very good team. I think all this stuff that when we talk about Michigan State, it really just comes down to what they do. I really don't think it matters who they play. It's just how they play. And, you know, I talked about it earlier, Tyler. I just really believe there's still one creative player away. It comes down to Rocket. I mean, I'm a big Rocket guy, so of course I'm going to talk about him probably more than I should, but I still think that when you look at Gabe Brown, you look at Langford, you look at Henry, I do think Henry has really stepped up his playmaking ability. He's not just a slasher anymore. I mean, he can create off the dribble. You know, he attacks the basket well, and he's very good addition off to the bigs. He's gotten better at that.
He's a very underrated passer.
Very underrated. I think we've seen that already this season. I just think when you look at how it's been for them the past few years with Cassius really just being that guy, there's going to be a few games here and there where he just doesn't play as well as he probably could. That's just basketball. I mean, you can't play – last year was one of the most amazing seasons by a player because he was outstanding pretty much the whole year. And I don't think you're ever going to see Cassius Winston play bad, but there's going to be maybe a few games there where he doesn't shoot the ball as well as he can. Maybe they take away a few things where they're not just allowing him to make play. They try to get the ball out of his hands. When the ball is out of his hands, who's that guy who can create for others? Right now it's Aaron Henry. Rocket Watts is still too young, but he's going to have to be the guy, Rocket, who can say, hey, give me the ball, get to the wing, I got this. If they get that from him, they're not going to lose. They're that good, and their defense is that good, where you get two playmakers, this team can beat anyone. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
For all of the crap that I've given Watts over this very, very young season, he's obviously not shooting the ball well, but if he's not pressing, if he's not trying to press to be Cassius Winston, like I said, flipping it free throw line to free throw line, getting an assist half a second, the ball goes through the hoop on the other end. Or if he's not trying to do his own thing too much, because obviously he's got the capability to break people down off the dribble, and he's got the ability to create his own shot. It's just not falling right now. But I think he's been very underrated as far as his playmaking for the rest of his teammates. And that's the thing with Cassius Winston. In bigger games, like, you'll probably see it, you know, when Michigan State plays Duke, you will probably see Watts run a bit of point. You might see Lawyer for a second. But you'll probably see Watts run a little bit of point guard, but Cassius is still going to play 35 minutes. So can you just hold your own while Watts is in there for 5 minutes being the guy as a playmaker? Because Winston's still going to play 35, 40 minutes a night, much like he did at the end of last season. I mean, obviously that was more forced due to injuries and the fact Lawyer wasn't ready. But I feel like Watts can make those plays for 4 minutes, 3 minutes. And then if you get to a point where, you know, you're playing a team and you can give Winston 10 minutes off against, well, pretty much anyone on Virginia Tech's schedule so far this season, or you look at, Binghamton and stuff like that, if you can give him, like, 10 minutes off or whatever, Lawyer can handle it against teams like that. And against
He played very well the other night.
I thought
he looked more explosive.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy you got to use too. Yeah, he really has, and I think that's the one thing we don't talk about him enough. And I'll take full responsibility of that. I mean, this is a guy who is Mr. Basketball. This is a kid that can really shoot it. And you know, the Big Ten tournament last year against Ohio State, he was the guy. I mean, he was the guy that really put them over the top. They were not playing well. He came in and hit big shots, and maybe that's another thing. I mean, maybe Tyler, that's a guy where we sit here and say, hey, Cassius is just, we can't just allow him to have to do everything. Let's bring in Foster a little bit. Let's let him play the point. And another thing is maybe Cassius can be out there with him. And there's a lot of options here, but I truly believe that having another ball handler, having another playmaker is big for Michigan State. I mean, this is a great basketball team. If anyone wants to argue that, you know, they're not watching enough and they haven't seen this team play enough, or they don't follow the program. This is a very, very good team, and they have everything there to make a run again and maybe do something more special than they've done since 2000, win that national championship. But I think another playmaker is key. You know, we don't have a whole lot of time here, but let's just dive real quick in the game. I mean, we don't want to have any predictions, but I mentioned it earlier, Tyler. I thought this was a game where Michigan on the football end against Ohio State, I think this is – they have a chance. I mean, I think that a lot of things need to happen. I think Ohio State needs to turn the ball over like they did against Penn State. But, you know, hey, Jim Harbaugh just went out and said it again. You know, he has a whole lot to say always. And his quote, and I quote, "We're very aware of the rivalry, having played in it, coached in it. I grew up here. My dad was a coach. As I liken the Michigan State game to a state championship, this is even bigger." I would hope, Tyler, at some point that the Michigan staff, they have prepared every week for this game like they used to. I have my doubts, but let's just talk a little bit about the game. You know, we don't want to break it down. Friday we'll really break it down. But give me your thoughts on this game this weekend.
Look, I think this is a winnable game for Michigan. I really believe that. And, I mean, you look at what Michigan State did against Ohio State. Now, look, I know Michigan State got their butts handed to them, but that was, I mean, based upon the scoreboard. But if you look at that was five boom or bust plays where, you know, Dowell pulls up on the quarterback instead of letting Thompson handle his business and freeing up the entire right sideline for, I'm trying to remember which of Ohio State's many talented wide receivers it was. But freed up the entire right sideline, just left his man wide open to try to close in on the threat that is Fields. You look at Lewerke, missing Cody White, you know, by about 8 miles on a slant wide open 15 yards away from the end zone. You look at – or crossing pattern, rather. But you look at those types of plays, Ohio State won each and every one of those types of plays. And obviously that was when Michigan State was rolling. That was when Michigan State was confident. Obviously that was something that has long since disappeared. But those holes, Michigan's got talented receivers like White and Stewart who were getting open quite a bit against Ohio State. They just weren't making the plays. I think guys like Ronnie Bell, who's been so clutch lately, I think, you know, his ability to convert on those third downs, which he did plenty of against Michigan State, you know, Peoples Jones has the ability to stretch the field. And Michigan's shown that against rivals, they want to punch you in the mouth on the ground a little bit. They're not going to turn into a full-blown running team. Patterson, I'm starting to wonder, you know, at the beginning of the year, I told you I was really high on Patterson. But then, you know, that story breaks about his injury, and you start to wonder, okay, is it a combination of the injury and the line? Is it just the injury? Is it the fact that the line sucks and Patterson can't handle pressure in his face? And it looks like it was a combination of the two, both of which, you know, seem rectified now. And so Michigan's got a legitimate opportunity to win this game. They punch Notre Dame in the mouth. And you look at how Notre Dame up front on both sides of the ball handled Georgia, who's got a great front seven and a great offensive line. You look at how Notre Dame handled that. I get the transitive property doesn't always work in sports, and there's other schematic things, you know, bringing in linebackers. How long do you leave running backs in the block, fullbacks, that type of situation. But Notre Dame competed with Georgia. They didn't compete with Michigan.
No. Michigan played their best game this year. It helps, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that Michigan's got a legitimate opportunity. Obviously, Ohio State's better than Georgia on both fronts, but at the same time, Georgia's still one of the best in the country. And Still one of the best in the country.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to, Tyler, to be quite honest, is it's going to come down to Michigan's offense. I think that what Michigan State did and what Wisconsin did, and a little bit of even Penn State gave up far too much on the ground. That's what killed them. But when you look at what Michigan State did, and if I was Michigan, I'd be looking at my neighbors going, you know, I know you're not going to get any helpful insight from the Spartans. So don't maybe make that call like Don Brown making a call to Tressel. Hey, what should we do? I don't think that's going to be a call that anyone takes. But I think you can watch that film and you could say, boy, that first quarter, they stopped the run. They made it very difficult for Justin Fields. What was the problem? Ohio State's defense is too good. And Michigan State could not capitalize. And like you said earlier, what did we say? They had a touchdown, Michigan State did, that was missed. They put some points. They left a few points on the board where if you're a team and you watch that game, you say, hey, we could do that. We could do what the Spartans did there, and maybe we could be successful. It comes down solely to that Michigan offense. If
by a few points you mean 20, then yes.
Yeah, and I think what people are not – I mean, I think it's documented, but I don't think it's documented far enough. Ohio State's defense is spectacular, and they have every level locked down with the line, with the linebackers, with the secondary. They're just a very hard team to score points on, and what's the fact and the point of that? They're giving up the least amount of points in the country. And I really don't care who you play. I mean, they're giving up 9 points per game. And you got to get turnovers. You got to force their offense to struggle. And you got to put points on the board. I mean, Michigan's going to literally – they have to score 24 or more. I mean, you're not going to beat Ohio State. I would argue you might have to score 30. And I don't know if they can do that against Ohio State's defense. And I think that's going to be the big problem where it's third and long or they're not running the ball. And Shea Patterson is not good under pressure. He is – I mean, you look at the Indiana game. When he doesn't have pressure, he's a pretty darn good quarterback. But his one interception, one guy came in, he throws it off his back foot, there's an interception. You cannot do that against Ohio State. You either have to throw it away, you either have to take the sack, and he's just not a willing runner. and the RPO. So that really allows Ohio State to lock and load on the running back. They're going to have their hands full. They got to give Patterson time. They do have wide receiver talent that's very good. I think there's a few matchups that Michigan has that are an advantage for them against Ohio State's secondary. But like I said, I mean, we'll break it down more. It's going to be a bear. It's a tall mountain to climb for Michigan. I mean, we all know that. But I do think that a couple things happen. They have a good chance. But this is more about basketball this week. I can't wait to get it started. You know, we'll break it down more after the tonight's game, Michigan State again in the Maui Invitational against Virginia Tech. Michigan's got a few days here until they play Iowa State in the Battle for Atlantis. I can't wait, Tyler. You're right, man. This is a fun week. And yes, Lions Thursday. Woo! Can't wait for that game. And, you know, we get into some high school football, and then we get into the game. And then the Spartans can clinch another bowl eligible situation. I think that's still important. So we got a lot to cover. A lot of things need to happen. And I'm excited for it.
Oh, yeah. It's the greatest week of sports.
It's definitely up there. I would rival this with, you know, obviously March Madness. We get really excited for March. I can't wait for that as well. A whole lot's going to happen in basketball that will tell us. Yes, the greatest event, maybe the greatest week is this week. Maybe you're right, Tyler. For Troubled Snap Podcast, Tyler Hayward, I'm Jay File. I'm excited about the week. We'll break down the basketball games more on our page. Please follow the page. I know a lot of you have been commenting, liking. We want to blow this thing up. It's all Michigan State, Michigan basketball and football. But, of course, we'll add a little tidbits here about our wonderful local Detroit sport teams because they're doing so well. But, yeah, hey, tune in. Again, Trouble with Snap Podcast on Facebook. You can call in. You can be a guest. We love your feedback. We've had some outstanding guests on the show, former Spartan players. Looking forward to possibly getting a few U of M players. I think I say that every year. It never happens. It's okay. We'll keep the Spartans on the show. But thanks again for tuning in.
Thomas Wright later this year, former Tennessee Titans.
Thomas Wright. Yeah. We've had some big ones, man. Tyler gets all the stars. He gets all the stars aligned. And, man, it was so much fun talking to Craig Jarrett. I could probably talk about this all year. He was one of our favorite guests. I mean, it's hard to say one of our favorites. We've had, I'd say, all of our guests are our favorites. But he was a outstanding breaking down Michigan State football and talking about Charles Rogers. So, hey, thanks again for listening. Get Trouble with Snap Podcast. We will break down more basketball this week and get you guys ready for the game.